coming to you live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
And here we are coming to you live from a top secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52. This is the talk show Hell Hates. And apparently my lunch hates me too. I think I ate too fast. I went downstairs and there's a bunch of people down there, and David from our church had a leftover. It's actually, they threw an extra one in, a Sonic breakfast burrito. He said, "Pastor Mike, you want that?" I said, "Yeah, take that." And brought it up here, saw the time, so I chugged it down, and now I'm like, oh no. Good to be with you today. I'm gonna say some stuff again because of a phone call I had this morning. I took several phone calls this morning, and this one really kind of proved my point on some things that I have said for the past several years. I admitted after the 2020 election, I admitted publicly more than once that I had been taken in and duped by internet conspiracy theories, internet lies, internet rumors, so on and so on and so on. When the Bible, when Jesus said, "Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars," I get the rumors of wars now. Because all that has to happen is a bunch of kooks get on the internet and say that wars are breaking out everywhere, all over the world, and people are going to lose their snot over it. But I had a conversation with a dear lady today, who is in a time of great distress personally, and I'm not going to discuss the nature of that. I'm not going to give her name. She's listening now, and her children live many hours apart from each other. And she is at a time in her life where she really needs to be with family. And if families in this day and age, if you have families that love each other and get along, man, I tell you, there's nothing better. I have succeeded in life with a number of things against me because I had family to rely on, a wife, children, even the grandchildren give me a reason to keep going, to keep my life on track. My children, same thing. They need each other. They live off of one another. They are comforted by one another. And so this lady is in a place now where she needs
to be with her children, and she got an invitation from her children to come down to stay with them for a while. So she began to relay that to friends of hers who claimed to be Christian, and she said, I guess I'll get a flight and go down there and be with them. And her friends now are going, oh my goodness, don't do that. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. Well, why not? Because all of the airline pilots have been required to get the COVID shot, and they're all going to die. They're going to die. That plane is going to crash. They can activate something in those pilots, and those planes are going down. You're going to die. And I'm just like, they have her scared to death to go see her own family. And it's bogus. It's a lie. It is science falsely so called. People get their medical, we've gotten to a point when the internet first emerged in the 90s, it was thought of as this tremendous tool to educate people, to get them to see things that they would have never seen before. Things like Google Earth. My goodness, we can see literally everything on the planet with Google Earth. And, Wikipedia. And there is good information out there. But then, again, I am pointing out to you, there are liars who write blogs. A blog is a web log. That's what a blog is. It's some article written by somebody. Or there are vlogs, video logs, a YouTube video, I don't know the other ones. But the bottom line is, anybody can make a video of anything, put it up on the internet. And the fact that a video gets taken down, well, that just proves our point. This information is so dangerous. You need to, this is the favorite, my favorite title of every video. You must watch this before it's taken down. Of course, it never gets taken down. But if it does, well, then that just proves our point. We were so dangerous in what we said. It was taken down. The government didn't want us saying that. And I just, whatever. Is there censorship on the internet? Yes, I've experienced it. I've had strikes against my YouTube channel. I try to follow their rules because it's their rules. It's their money, it's their play yard, but it is censorship, and I don't like it. But anyway, you have people claiming to be Christians, people who have said, and I saved some of the videos. I don't need to go through and find them, but one guy in particular, whose name is Patch. What's his first name? Anthony Patch. Saying in no uncertain terms that the COVID shot is the mark of the beast prophesied in Revelation 13. It is. He is 100% certain of it. Now, this guy is not born again Christian. He's not. Neither is Mike Adams, the health ranger, and his 300 plus website, news websites that masquerade as news websites, but really they are advertising points to get you to go and buy stuff from his online health supplement store, superstore. Mike Adams was a new ager for years. Somebody sent me an email and said, I think he's a Christian now because look at this article that he wrote. He wrote it about the Mark of the Beast, and I read it. And I'm going, no, he has no comprehension whatsoever of who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. He has no understanding at all. Because basically Mike Adams said that if you get this COVID shot, you are going to hell. And that's it. God doesn't want to hear from you. There is no grace for you. There's no mercy. There's nothing. You're going to hell. And then he said, he doubled down on it, and he said that basically half of the people that read that article, and that came out in 2020, by 2025, they would all be dead. Now, it's 2023. We don't have people dropping dead all over the place. Airplanes are not falling out of the sky. No one has the mark of the beast. It's not on their right hand or in their right hand. It's not in their forehead. People are still allowed to buy and sell as they please. There are no government soldiers aiming guns at people in lines saying, get the shot or we'll kill you. Now, there have been a few things happen that I'm not crazy about. But the gospel is still being preached. I still preach it and will continue to preach it. We are not saved by the healthy condition of our body, nor do we lose our salvation by some unhealthy condition of our body. We do not lose our salvation because some doctor stuck a needle in us. We do not lose our salvation because of what we eat or drink. That is made plain in the scriptures. Jesus even went to the extent to tell us that even if we were poisoned, or a serpent bit us, no harm. The Apostle Paul lived through that. He had a snake bite him. And he shook the beast off into the fire. And they're all like, he's going to die. This is like somebody that the gods are after, man. Because, I mean, he escaped, you know, prison. And now the gods are after him because he got bit by a snake. And nothing happened to him. And they're going, oh, this man's a god. And he said, I'm not a god, but I know one. And he died for you. People, I'm telling you, there are things in this world to cause us concern. But I will say this. Jesus promised that those who are truly his, let me read the verse to you. I'm not going to paraphrase. I'm going to read the verse to you. Matthew 24. You really should read the Bible every now and then. It's just some advice I have for people, and just on a general basis. But I really think that you would be benefited by reading the scriptures. I have said this now for years. I have admitted being wrong and leading people with that wrong in the past. I don't want to do it again. Am I capable of telling the truth 100% of the time? No, I've been saying that ever since. I've been doing the Watchman broadcast, Pastor Mike Online. Matthew 24:24. Here's something to legitimately be worried about, and that is believing in the wrong Jesus. Because he says, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." And what Jesus just said in this verse is, it is impossible to deceive the very elect. And the word "very" does not indicate levels of election. There are none. There are no levels of Christianity. There are no levels of saved. There's no multiple raptures. The first rapture is going to save those who are really dedicated, who sit on the front rows of the church and say amen to the preacher's preaching. And no, there isn't anything like that. There's the elect, and then there's everybody else in the world. And the elect will not be deceived by these lies. That's a guarantee. So I kind of take the position, and maybe this is a little judgmental on my part, but I take the position that if you're really worried about taking the mark of the beast and unknowingly, they hid it in your Wheaties, or, you know, McDonald's started making Mark of the Beast hamburgers and you didn't know it. Or Starbucks, Mark of the Beast coffee. If you're worried that that's going to happen to you, maybe, I'm not your judge, maybe you're not truly elect. Maybe your Christianity is as shallow as a Facebook meme. You know the kind I'm talking about, right? If you love Jesus, then you will pass this on to 10 people. And if you don't, then you don't love Jesus. That is not the measure of the love that I have for my Savior, my Lord, my Shepherd, my Guide, my Friend. The Word of God is not, that's not a measure of my love for my God. Me telling the truth is telling the truth. And if I don't know if something's true or not, then I'll tell you, I'm not sure about this. One thing I am sure about is the COVID shot is not the mark of the beast. It's not. Now, There's something else I'm not sure about. People have been asking me about the, you know, we had the balloon that went over. That made me angry. Because I could actually, in the photograph that I took, I could actually see the balloon and what looked like solar arrays, solar panels coming out of it. They said that those were not just solar panels, that they had surveillance equipment on them. And, I was pretty angry about that. But then, and finally, after El Presidente let it go all the way across all of our sensitive military bases, finally gets to the East Coast where we run out of military bases, and now we shoot it down. And then all of a sudden now three more objects appear, and the Air Force is told, take them down, take them down, take them down, all three of them. And people are asking me, were these UFOs? Now, I have the final word on the identification of these three objects that our military took down and have them in their custody. And it's this right here. The globe. Yeah. Supermarket. Got it at the store. U.S. jets destroy three UFOs in War of the Worlds. Pentagon general lets the truth slip. Queen Camilla falls off the wagon. I didn't know she was on a wagon. So I you have to go like to the very middle of this news thing. And it says, and I haven't read all of this. I just pulled this. I had this in my backpack for a couple days, and I finally remembered that it was there. So I just pulled this out while I was eating my breakfast burrito a while ago. Air Force General Glenn Van Herk, head of the North American Aerospace Defense Command, NORAD, and the U.S. Northern Command, shockingly confesses three odd metallic objects shot down over Alaska, Canada, and the Great Lakes may have been of extraterrestrial origin. So here's his quote now. The general said, quote, I haven't ruled out anything. At this point, we continue to assess every threat or potential threat unknown that approaches North America with an attempt to identify it. That doesn't really look like an admission that they were extraterrestrial in nature. It doesn't really doesn't look like it. Now I have to read the rest of this to see to see if there was anything else significant that he said. And I am very interested in Queen Camilla's drinking problem. So anyway, I'll look at that later. I was going to do this last week and I forgot all about it. But last Woden's Day, do you know what it was? It was, I'll put it up on the screen here for you. Warning, there is going to be a picture of some people crying. Last Woden's Day was Ash Wednesday. Now, this is a picture from 2018. The picture's blurry, but this lady here has a mark on her forehead placed there by a false prophet. On Ash Wednesday, 2018, a young product of the American education system, a very deranged, misguided young man by the name of Nicholas Cruz stormed into the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, murdering 17 people, injuring 17 others. He was later captured by police. This took place February 14th, Valentine's Day, 2018. You know, a lot of things. And let me talking about fake news and false internet people. Alex Jones is in the process of losing every shirt that he's got. If you remember, last year he was being sued by multiple groups. They were parents of children that had been killed at the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting. Alex Jones made repeated statements that the shooting never occurred. And, of course, in 2018, Parkland shooting takes place, and here they come, all of the internet experts, the internet legal experts who are well-trained in police tactics and everything else, they come out there and they say this wasn't a real shooting. They used crisis actors. In fact, we saw a guy on TV in the background at Parkland that looked just like a guy that we saw on TV at Sandy Hook. They used the same people over and over for these, that they're called crisis actors. And if you believe these people, you would think that there has never been a murder in America in the last 50 years. Never, none has ever taken place. It's all been done by crisis actors and FEMA agents, and all of it in order to take our guns away. Now, I have to admit, the Sheriff Association of the state of Oregon, along with the Sheriff's Organization of the state of Washington, along with many sheriffs in California, mainly Northern California, have recently sent letters to their state legislatures, their state's governors, their state's attorney generals, and certain politicians in Washington, D.C. that are related to Oregon, Washington, California, and they have said in no uncertain terms, if you even attempt to pass new gun control laws on the federal level, and if you ever send anybody into our counties to enforce these new gun control laws, we will arrest them on site and hold them and try them and convict them and put them in prison. And these guys are serious too. They said, we will not enforce new gun control legislation from anywhere. It doesn't matter what you say. We're the sheriff. This is our county. People have a right, a constitutional right, to keep and bear arms, and those rights shall not be infringed. So, yeah, I do agree that there is a lot of ignorant politicians that would love to see all the guns taken away from people who have never broken the law in their life, while they leave guns in the hands of people who spend their whole lives breaking the law. I get that. It's all about the chaos and destruction and all of that stuff. But folks, there has not been ever a mass shooting or a staged mass shooting that has enabled the government to come and take all of our guns away. It's never happened. I'm of the opinion, and I may be wrong, and if I'm wrong, I'll admit it. I'm of the opinion that the best way to get Americans to hand over their guns is to get them to do it voluntarily. Now, that works in certain neighborhoods, certain areas, that works. Guns for cash programs, things like that. People bringing in guns, but they're bringing in busted up guns. But some people gladly do it. But a majority of this country served in the military. A majority of this country is, they have a background of being able to have guns, carry guns. I got one with me right now in my top secret bunker. And I talk to law enforcement people all the time. I've got family members in law enforcement, and nobody that I've ever talked to in law enforcement sees the average American citizen having a gun as some really bad thing. There are some cops that believe that, but a majority of them don't. But anyway, let's get back to this. This really happened, and Alex Jones has lost every court battle that he's faced so far. He's been in the process of hiding money. He set up a dummy corporation in the name of his mom and dad in order to hide money under their name that he got, so he doesn't have to pay these lawsuits. But they've got him. They've got him in the hundreds of millions of dollars so far. And I don't know how far it's going to go, but he's lost every one of them. He's lost every case. They've caught him lying. They've caught him. They have caught him hiding, hiding evidence. In the first trial. Alex Jones' own lawyer accidentally sent the entire contents of Alex Jones' iPhone accidentally to the very police crime lab in the jurisdiction of where he's being sued. Some, I don't know, 13 gigabytes of information off of his phone, or more than that. I don't remember exactly the number, but it was like this outrageous amount of data of text messages, deleted text messages, and so on. The crime lab called the prosecutor's office and said, what in the world are we getting here? And they went down and looked at it, and they said, well, we're getting Alex Jones' phone data. They notified Alex Jones' lawyer and said, look, you sent us his phone data. You weren't court ordered. What do you want us to do with this? And Alex Jones' lawyer mistakenly said, oh, don't worry about it. I'm not worried about it. OK, Okay? Do whatever you want with it. Well, they started going through the data and they found they had Alex Jones on the stand saying, or under oath saying, that he searched his phone and found no text messages related to Sandy Hook, and that he had given them everything that he had. Well, they started searching the data and they're like, oh no, he lied. And the judge nailed him. Of course, his lawyer is going, well, I want that evidence. That's exculpatory evidence. It's not allowed. I want it thrown out. The judge said, you had all the opportunity in the world to throw it out. You had all the opportunity in the world to hand it over and you didn't do it. So, I mean, they got him. But basically, the parents of the children of Sandy Hook successfully sued Alex Jones for getting on his nationwide broadcast and lying to the entire world that the Sandy Hook elementary school shootings never happened. And I remember hearing this not too long after it happened, and I'm going, how hard would it be to find out if this is true or not? How hard would it be to go to this town, wherever it is, and start knocking doors and asking people, do you know somebody who lost a child in the Sandy Hook shooting? Yes. Is there any way I could talk to them? How hard would that be to go find out whether or not this story is true or not? All you'd have to do is talk to one parent. Ask them about their child that they lost. And you would be able to find out in a couple of minutes, as they break down sobbing in front of you, pictures of their child all over their house, whether or not they actually lost that child or not. People, there are conspiracies. And then there's just madness on the internet. And I'm just encouraging you, stick with the scriptures. Stick with it. I am still finding things in the Bible. It's a journey that I'm on. God didn't give me everything 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. He didn't give me everything. He gave me a foundation. And over the years, He's been giving me more and more and more and more. And I am still seeing things in the Bible that I'm just like, I am like blown away over. There's more in that Bible than all of us together would ever find out. And you know 100% that Bible is true in everything it says. Alex Jones isn't. Anthony Patch isn't. Mike Adams, the health ranger, isn't. And scores of other, hundreds of others who are bloggers, basement investigators, meaning they sit down in their basement, in their mom's basement on their mom's computer, researching. And we discovered the earth is flat. There's thousands of people like that all across the internet. Don't believe a word they say. Believe the Bible. Now, back to Ash Wednesday. What is it? What is Ash Wednesday? Well, I can tell you that nobody in the Bible ever practiced Ash Wednesday. Nobody ever did. It's a made up holy day. It's made up. Supposedly, it is, of course, it's on the heels of Mardi Gras. Gras is the French word for fat, and Mardi is Tuesday, Fat Tuesday. And basically, Fat Tuesday is, let's go out and commit every sin imaginable. so that the next day we can go to the church, get forgiven by the priest, and then him put a mark on our forehead. And that makes us Christians now. Because for the next 40 days, we're going to give up everything, which generally never happens. Okay? Especially by the very priest who puts the mark on people's foreheads. I mean, you're supposed to give up all your vices, but how many Catholic priests stop committing adultery, stop looking at porn, stop looking at other things, stop hurting and harming children? I guarantee you they don't. But the tradition is that they take ashes, and now ashes in the Bible represent in one way the dead. Abraham said, "Though I am but dust and ashes," meaning that whether his body decomposes in the ground or his body is burned up, doesn't matter, because that body is going nowhere. That body that you live in right now, it's not going anywhere. It's going to rot in this world and burn up one of these days. It's the soul. But anyway, so they believe you put a mark on your forehead. That's why this lady who's weeping over her child has this big letter X on her forehead. I have there a picture of Quetzalcoatl. If you remember, Quetzalcoatl is he's a fiery flying serpent. He was the god of the Aztecs in Mexico, and he was killed on a cross. Believe it or not, he was killed on a cruciform object. So that when Cortez and these Catholic priests come over and they are trying to figure out how they're going to have to murder Montezuma and all the Aztecs there or convert them somehow to Catholicism, the Catholic priest said, "Well, look at there. Their God there is on a cross. Why don't we just tell them that that's Jesus? And, you know, we've got a new name for him. And so if they follow those hideous, pagan, heathen people who are worshiping false gods and statues, if we bring them our God on a statue, then that's the right religion." It's what they did. So they were able to convince Montezuma and others that they were worshiping the right God and the right idol. They just had the wrong name for it. But Quetzalcoatl was a plumed, flying, feathered serpent, fiery serpent, I believe. And so the cross doesn't necessarily speak of the cross of Jesus Christ. There have been others. That cross or that tree is a representation of what's known as the world tree, the Yggdrasil. Pardon my Norwegian. And it relates to, if you've seen Thor and the Marvel Avengers series, you have been indoctrinated, by the way. You have been educated in a religious system that is false to the core. And I know personally a family who lost their Bible college son to the religion of Thor and Odin. No kidding. Here is Earth. Earth is Midgard. Middle Earth. It is where Tolkien got his ideas from. Middle Earth is Earth. And there's a character in Lord of the Rings called Theoden. Really? Theos, Greek word for God, and Odin is the god, Theoden. What was some other ones? Mithrandir was the one of the names for Gandalf the Wizard. Mithrandir is Mithras, who is another of the dying gods who was slain for the benefit of other people. This story, this is how Tolkien convinced C.S. Lewis to join quote-unquote Christianity. It's through fables. And the Bible says we've not followed cunningly devised fables. But anyway, you have Asgard, Midgard, Jotunheim. You have Hell. The world tree supposedly connects all of these worlds together. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. The nine worlds. You have Wotan up here, which is the German Odin. Wotan's Volk, which means Odin's people, is what it means. But that cross is the world tree. And the center point of the cross, notice where Quetzalcoatl's heart is. It's at the center point, just like in the Catholic Church. You have the nave and the transept, and where they cross and join together, that's where everything's done. That point, or that location, is called the Axis Mundi, or the world axis. It supposedly is the center or the heart of the earth. It is around which everything in the universe revolves. Okay, so that's why, I mean, we have no such teaching in the Bible, in Bible Christianity, that our churches must be designed in the shape of a cross, and we must stand in a particular place in order to receive the Eucharist, in order to be married, in order to be dead, nothing. No teaching whatsoever. Now, the man, the dying God, I believe, is mentioned in Lamentations chapter 3. Notice what it's, and Lamentations itself is an interesting, it's an interesting book the way it's formed. It has five chapters. First two chapters have 22 verses apiece in them, and every verse in Hebrew begins with that letter of the Hebrew Aleph Beth. In other words, the first word of verse 1 begins with Aleph. The first word of verse 2 begins with Beth. The first word of verse 3 begins with Gimel. The first word in verse 4 begins with Daleth, and so on and so on and so on, all the way down to Tav. And then Lamentations chapter 3 is tripled that. You have 66 verses, and every third verse has that Alpha Beth pattern in it. It says, I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Now think of this now as the dying god of both Nordic religion, Odin, whose right eye has been put out, like the idol shepherd, Quetzalcoatl, Bacchus, or Dionysus, and there's several other representations of this dying god. How many superheroes in all of these superhero movies have died and been brought back to life? Superman, the Man of Steel, who else? Who else has died and been brought back to life? Well, I can't think of any offhand, but that seems to be a common theme that they push. Surely against me he has turned. He hath turned his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. Contrast that with Christ, where not a bone of him was broken. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places, as they that be dead of old. Meaning he is in the pit, where even the light is as darkness. That's Job chapter 10. In fact, there is a parallel passage to this in Job. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. That's because it's a chain of darkness. Also, when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. Reminds me a few years ago of, I'll give his name, L.A. Marzulli, who was doing a podcast, and he invited this particular author on his podcast. This particular author said on this podcast that he had died. And when he opened his eyes, he was in hell. And he was screaming and gnashing his teeth and burning. And he decided that he didn't like hell. And he decided then that he would be sorry for all the things he had done in his sinful life. So after reaching this conclusion, he says a prayer to God and begs God to let him out of hell. Now, right here, he hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also, when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. According to him, when God heard his prayer, he had compassion on him, he lifted him out of hell, put him back in his body, and he lives now. And somebody sent me that. I listened to it in depth, and I wrote an email to Marzulli in private, and I said, you don't know me. I've read your book. Found it interesting, but you put a guy on your podcast that says that he went to hell because he deserved it, and God let him out of hell because he asked God politely or whatever. He asked God to let him out of hell, and God let him out of hell. You and I both know that that is a big contradiction of Scripture. And I gave him several places in Scripture. And the email I got back from Marzulli was, I never said that God lets people out of hell. That was what he said. And he was basically like distancing himself from what this guy said on his podcast. I went back and listened to it. And while this guy is retelling his story, recounting his story about how he prayed to God and God let him out of hell, Marzulli's going, wow, oh man, wow, that is amazing. And I'm like, you can't hide from this. People, you got to watch and use some discernment in the people that you follow, including me. Use discernment. Clearly, God doesn't. The rich man begged Abraham to just let Lazarus dip his finger in water and cool his tongue. And Abraham said, nope, can't do it. Can't do it. Verse 9, he hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. That's what you have when you have one of these prayer labyrinths. You basically are going to the heart of the earth. You're following a crooked path like a serpent that takes you down to the center of this big labyrinth. And there you're told, in fact, you have 11 stopping places. 11. You have 11 stopping places where you stop and contemplate something. Then you get to the center point. When you get there, you find God's there waiting for you. But the whole point of a labyrinth was that it was the heart of the earth. And one of the Greek gods put, not a satyr, but a minotaur down there. Half man, half beast. Come on, everybody. That's the God that people are getting in touch with down there. Look at this. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear, lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. That sounds eerily like Revelation 13. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. That's what God does to his enemies. He breaks them in pieces. He pulled me in pieces. Maybe this guy was a pig, and that's where we get pulled pork from. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. That's what I think that is. It looks like that. Now, there is a connection between the mark that these priests put on people's heads on Ash Wednesday. There is a connection directly toward human DNA. Ash Wednesday always comes exactly 46 days before Easter. Exactly. That's why it moves every year. Back in 2018, it was February 14th. This year, I think it was last Wednesday. Because, and so you just look at any calendar, find Ash Wednesday and count the number of days to Easter. It's always 46 days. Always. I saw that and I'm going, because Ash Wednesday goes way back. How did these popes, whoever did this, how did they come up with that number? To mark everybody on their forehead with a device that looks like the human chromosome, there being 46 of them, and it be 46 days before the day that they mark or commemorate the resurrection of Christ. Genesis 3, if you remember, the serpent says exactly 46 words in the King James. I remember the first time I counted that, and I went, are you kidding me? And that was years ago. I'm like dizzy almost because of the things that I'm finding in our wonderful Bible. I'm telling you, that book is amazing. The things that are in it that are still yet to be understood absolutely thrill my soul. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes, look at that word, 33rd word, shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Your eyes, all three of them, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed. So, this is the prima example of corruptible seed. This, the seed of the words that Satan spoke to Eve, changed her, afflicted her, augmented her. Before he says these words, she doesn't give two thoughts about the fruit hanging on that tree. He says these 46 words. She now is like, I think I'll eat that fruit. Even though he never said that to her. He never said, why don't you go eat that fruit? Never commanded her. Never even told her what to do. He just gave her an education in the mystery religions. And that corruptible seed brought about a corrupt change to where death was brought in. 23 is the number for death. We are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Internet rumors come and go. And they come and go by the same people. I mean, my goodness. When you find out that, or you figure out that somebody on the internet told you something and it never happened, that would have been the last time I would have listened to that person. You lied to me. And because of that, I'm not going to listen to you anymore. That's what happened after the 2020 election. There were people that were lying. I bought into it. After I realized they were lying, I said, I'm not going to listen to this ever again. You had your chance. It was a lie. I'm gone. I'm not going to be your spokesman anymore. Corruptible seed brings death wherever it goes. Internet lies, your neighbors are lying to you, your friends are lying to you, and all they want is to produce death in you. It's all they care about. They don't care about you, what happens to you. All they care about is their narrative and their lies and getting people to believe them. Because if people believe their lies, then that justifies the lie. Oh, I'm helping people. Oh, yeah, I'm saving people's lives. Not with lies, you're not. Look at this. Matthew 23. Take a look at it. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, you make him twofold. You know what that is? Twofold more the child of hell. Look at it like this. We are born children of hell when we're born. When you live a Christless life and die in your sins, now you are what the Bible says, twice dead. Twice dead. The second death is hell, everlasting, the lake of fire. It's the opposite of being born again. My second birth gives me everlasting life. My first birth gives me life here. My first death causes my existence here to be done away. If I live believing the lies, whether they're somebody else's or my own, then I am twice dead. My existence in heaven will never be seen. I'll be in the lake of fire forever. And that's what Jesus was getting at here. You're going to make them twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. They're like born again with corruptible seed. So in Genesis 11 now, another group of 46 words said by the people who build a city and a tower in heaven. They said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly. They had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. Slime is tar. So they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower. We already have a city in heaven. It's called the International Space Station. Because the space station is outside and beyond the borders of any country, because it is staffed by people from various countries, there is no one nation's laws that apply to the International Space Station. I mean, they're outside of any jurisdiction. So I don't know exactly what it is, but I imagine that there is some form of charter or rules and regulations or guidelines or whatever, but something that every astronaut, some law that every astronaut follows that rides the Dragon capsule up to the International Space Station, because they're under a different jurisdiction. This guy, I can't remember his name, some Swedish guy, trying to get everybody on the Earth to join and send money to his project called Asgardia. And what he wants to do is build a civilization, a city, that is outside the borders of Earth. So it'll be in space, so that it will be a new city with a new set of laws that govern it. Not the earthly laws like the Constitution here, or the monarchy in England or whatever. None of those laws have any say in what goes on in a floating city in space, like the International Space Station, or if they put a base on the moon, which they're planning on doing, or if we make it to Mars and put a group of people on Mars, they're not going to have the Constitution to rule over them. They're going to have a whole new set of laws. Laws that can't even exist on Earth. Laws of Earth that could never apply to people living in space. So, I mean, we have literally entered into the realm of the new world because we have people living, inhabiting outer space. And I'm telling you, it's going to go way beyond that. I don't know how soon or how far away, but the barriers have already been broken. We have one barrier down, the barrier of the limit of the Earth's atmosphere. We've broken that barrier. The second barrier to be broken is to put a permanent base on a planet or a moon in this solar system. The third barrier to be broken is to be able to go and live someplace beyond even the ruling of our sun. And what does the Bible say? The sun to rule the day, the moon to rule at night. They both rule. They govern. They are set and established as the order that you and I live in. I mean, think about it like this. We have laws in our country and in practically every country in the world that are based upon certain times, like curfews. Curfews, you know, they say if you're out past like 10 o'clock, 10 p.m., something like that, then we have a right to arrest you and put you in the street and so on. And certain cities enact curfews, you know, in times of emergency or whatever. And those laws are valid. If there is no 10 p.m., where you live, then that law is invalid. You follow what I'm saying? The sun and the moon literally rule over the day and over the night, even in man's legal system. We have times whereupon a certain crime has been committed, and we can judge someone's innocence or guilt based upon whether they were known to be in the vicinity of the crime within the time frame allowed, whether they could get there or not in time. In other words, if a guy was known to be in Denver, Colorado, when someone said that they saw him kill somebody in St. Louis, Missouri, obviously it is according to the law that a person can't get from Denver, Colorado to St. Louis, Missouri in a matter of minutes. So if somebody says they saw this guy kill somebody in St. Louis, but the guy was known to have been in Denver, Colorado at that time, and he didn't come back for another 2 days, it's obvious he didn't kill him. I mean, that's just the bare minimum of stuff. We have laws that govern time. Time is ruled over by the sun, the moon, and the stars in this world, but those ordinances don't exist. A Martian day is not the same as an Earth day. It'll have to have a new set of laws. See where we're going? Do you see why God said two places? Why God said this, this could very well be one of the reasons why God said this. In Amos chapter 9, he said, though thou dig into hell, then shall mine hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, then will I bring them down. God is saying, you're not going to escape the rules and the ordinances. You're not going to escape my law, my judgment. Just because a technicality, you were on some other planet in some other star system. Don't laugh. Don't laugh. Mankind is getting close to interstellar travel. Close. I don't know how close. I don't know how far away. But he's getting there. I think he's got help. Obadiah. Same thing. Though thou exalt thyself the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. If you are living in the stars, obviously you are not governed by the ordinances of the sun, the ordinances of the moon. You're not governed by that. You're beyond that. And God says, I'm not going to let you go on a technicality. I'm going to bring you back down, and I'm going to judge you. See, that's all in a King James Bible. So is this, the 46 words. Let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon where? The earth. Let's reach up here and live so that we don't have to follow the rules here. Okay? 46 words. And here's what was interesting. I started doing this kind of research after September 11th. Because this 11 kept popping up. Flight 11. The towers are an 11. They were, 110 stories feet tall. That's 11 times 10. And I just started seeing 11s everywhere. And I'm like, that can be an accident. Started looking into it, sure enough. Here's the European Tower of Babel. The European Union poster advertising and telling all the people of the Europe nations, let's join together. Europe, many tongues, one voice. Well, what does that speak of? That speaks of the rebuilding of the Tower of Babel when everybody spoke the same language. Notice this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. And then notice here. The 46 words that they spoke. The people who are the pieces and components of the Tower of Babel. Remember, God, they said, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. Notice how everybody is in the shape of a brick. Everybody is. This guy here, he's the brickhead. He's forming everybody. He's forming the bricks that make up the tower. The same imagery is in the Great Pyramid on the back of the $1 bill. Every one of those stones on there, Manly Hall said there were 72 stones on there. They represent the 72 nations that are found in Genesis chapter 10 that make up the peoples of the earth. You see what we're doing here? It's all about elevating man into the heavens. And his crowning achievement, that all-seeing eye. There we are back with the eyes again and the symbolism of it. 1 Peter 2, to whom coming as unto a living stone. See, they could have used stone. Stones were made by God, but they didn't. They used bricks. Bricks are made by man. It is the bricks shaped and fashioned by man and the tower getting man into heaven built and shaped by man's hands. God already has a way for us as humans to live in heaven. And man's hands have nothing to do with it. We're not going to build our own. We're not going to build our own way to the city of God, New Jerusalem. And the lady mentioned in the song Stairway to Heaven is not making our stairway to heaven. Now, I mentioned the lady for a reason. Number one, I'm working on the script for the next Watchmen. It's still Vatican Secrets. And I'm going to deal with the lady of the Vatican. They call her Mary. They call her the Virgin, the Blessed Virgin, the Blessed Mother. They call her the Mother of the Church, the Mother of Light. They call her the Mother of God. But they also refer to her as the Lady or Our Lady. The Queen of Heaven. And I've got a list of probably close to a dozen different goddesses throughout the ages who were all given the title of the Queen of Heaven and the Mother of a God. Okay? That the thing that hath been is the thing that shall be. There's no new thing under the sun. People worship the Queen of Heaven for years, and God told Jeremiah to say something about it. But then you have the lady in the song Stairway to Heaven, who's buying your stairway to heaven. And that song was written under the influence of a devil. I mentioned to you last week, I have a book it's a book about a UFO encounter or a series of encounters. There were several things that attracted me to this book. I'm going, you know, UFO books, they come out with new ones like every month. They're on Amazon. But this one caught my eye.
Where is it? Hang on. Here it is. The cover.
This is not the book. This is the book that I bought of Da Vinci's artwork. All of his sketches, everything. It just looked interesting to me. The cover of the UFO book that I bought has this on the front of it. There, you can get a better look at it. This is not Jesus. It's meant to look like Jesus, but it's not Jesus. Notice what he's wearing here. Okay? That's on the cover of this book. And I'm not giving the title out. I don't think a lot of people should read this. The person involved in the book has these UFO encounters. He has missing time and on and on and on. I watched an interview of him this morning, and he says to this day, it's a recent interview, he says, they come to my house every day. Every day they're there. And he's shown people, he's saying, hang on, they're here. He could feel it in his body. He said, they're here. And he'd walk out on the front porch, sure enough, three UFOs, always in threes, coming down to just see how he's doing, I guess. But the main character of the book is not some gray alien. It's a character referred to as the lady. I read that in the introduction, and I went, oh, my goodness. See, I know who that lady is. That lady is Mystery. Babylon the Great. A man by the name of Billy Meyer had several UFO encounters. There's some question as to some of his photographs, whether they were fake or not. Some of them, I think, are fake. But Billy Meyer speaks of being in contact with this beautiful blonde woman that imparts to him all of this knowledge about all of the entities that live in space, why they're making visits to the Earth, how the Earth is going to change, and everybody on the Earth is going to change. Some people are not going to change, and they're going to be done away with, and all this. He's being fed this stuff by this lady. If you remember, I came back from MUFON and told you the story of a man that I pseudonamed him Jack Webb because he didn't want his real name known. But I spoke with him at length. I interviewed him. I recorded the interview. His interview with me matched the MUFON report that he filed, but when he was 5 years old, a pastor's son, large family, down in rural Mississippi. He gets called out to the back porch of his house by a voice. He goes out there to look to see what's out there. There is a saucer-shaped disc hovering just above the roof line of his house. I mean, just barely up there. A door opens, and what does he see? The lady. This beautiful, blonde, long, flowing gown, surrounded by these kids that, they look like children of the damned. They're all just like this, surrounding the lady. The lady is beckoning him to come up with her, to be with her in the ship. He didn't want to go. He feels a pull on his body, pulling his body up there, and he doesn't want to go, and it releases him and takes off. And I told him, I said, I think God's angels were watching over you that day. I think God spared you from that, at least in part, to share this with me, because I'm going to tell everybody I know this story. I'm going to keep your name out of it, but I'm going to tell everybody I know. That lady keeps showing up in different forms, in different stories, in different ways associated with the whole UFO thing. There's something to it. And I would not want someone getting this book out of curiosity and then being led astray by it. I would not want that. So, I don't think I finished what I was saying about the difference between the buildings. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men. Nobody wants the Christianity that is given to us by the inspiration of Scripture. Nobody wants that anymore. They want the Asbury College type of Christianity. They want the, I don't know who's calling me. They want the TBN Christianity. They want the mystic Christianity. They want Christianity that includes letting them keep all their sins and all that stuff. They wanted Christianity without a Bible telling them what to do. And so this disallowed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones. We're made by God a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. And my brothers and sisters, I counseled this lady that called today. I said, get a plane ticket. Get on a plane and go be with your family. They need you as much as you need them right now. People, we're making plans to go to Kenya this year. Nothing short of God stepping in is going to stop me from going to visit the people whose their love for us here at Bethel, the pastors that are out there listening, learning, they want me to be with them and teach them. I'm going to hold pastors' conferences in Samburu and in Turkana. I'm going to give them of myself and nothing. No internet rumor. No disinformation. Nothing is going to stop me from going out there to be with my people except God. Because I love them. And no matter what happens or no matter what may happen, any sacrifice that takes place as a result of it is a price I'm willing to pay. My Savior did not regard his own self in doing what he did for me. So, I'm going to give him the same. Because I love him for what he did. I love you. And I want you to be free. I want you to know the truth. I want you to believe the truth. I want you to have the truth. I want you to spread the truth. And try to make amends for spreading lies. Anyway, I love you. You're the reason why we do what we do. Pray for me, because I'm going to slap Mary right in the face. That's really going to trip some triggers. Okay? So keep us in your prayers always. We need some happy music here.